Today I want to talk about the fear of exposure. The fear of exposure is what we are concerned about, subjecting us to judgment and criticism of other people and ourselves. In Christ's Returns reveals startling truth. Christ says that being born into physical form results in feelings of abandonment, insecurity, and fear of exposure. And when you consider the birth process, it is easy to believe that this statement is true. In the 9 months of gestation, the sense of being connected to the source of life through the mother's umbilical cord, inside of the amniotic sac within the mother, is all that is known and felt by that developing baby. Birth with labor is a painful, difficult eviction from the only home the baby has ever had. Because of the rough handling that is natural in the Western medical system and the cutting of the umbilical cord, the sense of abandonment and the insecurity have got to be overwhelming. And if we add in the reception given to the baby by the mother and the father and maybe the rest of the family, the abandonment and insecurity could reach terrible levels. Being shielded for 9 months, but then scrutinized, poked, stabbed, prodded, judged, can come as an awful shock. If there is a knowingness in the consciousness of the baby and in the mother and the father that something done that was wrong, the fear of exposure, that is, the wrongness becoming known to others, can also be a terrible thing. When I was about 11 years old, I gave Marianne a photo of me. In the photo, I had a cool black and red corduroy cap pushed back on my head so that my long blonde curls were hanging down from the center of my head to the middle of my forehead. And I had a guitar. I was holding it across my body. And I was posing like an Elvis Presley wannabe. I didn't know how to play a guitar. I just was trying to be cool. As soon as I handed Marianne the photo, she was thrilled and she said, "Oh, I can't wait to show it to everybody." I freaked out. I pleaded with her not to show it to anyone, and she agreed. At that time, I was shocked at how squashed and exposed I felt at the possibility that somebody was going to see me in that pose. It didn't make sense unless there was some earlier experience, either in this lifetime or another lifetime, that involved the danger and the pain of exposure. I never had such an instance of fear of exposure before that or since that rivals the intensity of that event. I also think the fear of exposure can be based upon having done bad things, and that if those bad things were known by others would lead to us being rejected, shunned, or disgraced, or us not belonging anymore to our family, our tribe, our clique. People with perfectionist tendencies or with rigid rulemaking families focused on wrongdoing can be particularly sensitive to the fear of their badness being discovered. When you think about it, it seems that all growth requires exposure. As we, and even plants and animals, extend ourselves, that extended part is more vulnerable to the environment than had we not reached out for greater awareness, greater comfort, greater satisfaction, greater achievement, and greater, I'll say, appreciation of something that we were extending our hand or arm for. I read a quote recently that said, "We suffer more often in imagination than in reality." Seneca the Younger knew this 1,000 years ago. Fear is mainly a creation of one's imagination. Now, instincts, I think, certainly play a part in making fear a factor in life, but our thinking and ruminating and worrying about things are much more potent in disturbing our peace. All things that grow have to give up some form of protection that keeps them hidden from exposure. This is true of humans, peas, coconuts, corn, and so many more living things. Because exposure, which is coming out from inside the walls of protection, is essential to our lives, we have to figure out ways to deal with the fears of exposure surrounding our imagined and possible actions. If we are seen, we are exposed, and we will be criticized by people. People who don't understand the law of cause and effect. All you have to do is look at the comments on blogs or YouTube or Facebook to realize that haters will hate, and haters are plentiful. If we are heard, we are exposed, and we will be criticized. If we do things, we are exposed, and we will be criticized. Somehow we have to get into the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical state that knows the comments are not really about us. We have to become immune to other people's negativity. And if we're self-conscious, it means we're vulnerable to the pain of those kind of comments. But that, again, is a mindset. Instead of being hypersensitive because we are exposed and criticized, perhaps we can see those experiences as vaccinations that help us withstand future waves of criticism. I have believed, on an intellectual level, that all disapproval is self-disapproval. All criticism is fed by self-criticism. It's all about the criticizer, not the criticized. I often have been amazed at how much criticism politicians have to be able to withstand in order to be a politician. They're savaged by other politicians, they're savaged by the press, they're savaged by people, but nonetheless, they persist. Somehow, they have become immune, at least on the surface level, to criticism. If we went fishing, we wouldn't have hurt feelings about the plankton, jellyfish, and other fish that ignored our efforts to catch fish. We wouldn't be trying to get every fish in the water, only those that would be likely to be attracted to the bait we were using. And we would choose the bait based upon our knowledge of the type of fish that is attracted to that type of bait, and our desire to have that fish, as in, I'd like to catch that fish because I would like to have it for dinner. The same thing is true when we speak, when we act, when we make presentations, when we sell. We're not trying to sell and present to everybody all the time. We are, in fact, trying to qualify who we actually are addressing. We could work to develop the attitude that criticism and pain that we fear just doesn't matter. We may decide that listening to people is problematic, so we stop hearing them. I don't think this is a good idea. That approach is not really going to work. Belonging and relating to people are essential to our happiness. Becoming sociopaths and psychopaths and protecting our narcissism will not improve our relationships. So, what can we do? Since I consider increased awareness to be the solution to all problems, increasing our awareness about the fear of exposure is a good step in the right direction. What could we say fear of exposure is? Well, we could say it's a self-protective impulse designed to be life-enhancing. The shells around seeds and animals and plants are protective. Being exposed prematurely would be risky to life. As we're developing in our mother's womb, we need to stay there for about 39 weeks before being exposed to the light of day through birth. I imagine fear of exposure is a very real thing to a laboring mother lying on her back, feet up in stirrups for the convenience of the delivering physician not for the convenience of the mother, and not for the convenience of the baby. Any sense of modesty that the woman may have had will be dispelled by this unnatural position. She will probably fear exposure. Our skin protects us from exposure. So do our clothes, sunglasses, shoes, etc. Our homes, window shades, blankets do too. Our cars are built to protect us. We wouldn't want to be exposed to the wind, rain, dirt, and gravel as we drive. We study to learn. We don't want ignorance of a subject to be exposed, so we either work to understand it or work to hide our ignorance. There may be another way to consider our experiences of exposure. Maybe our exposure is needed in order to build immunity, like a natural form of vaccination. If we could look at the exposure and the possible pain as being part of a desensitization process that builds our strength, maybe we need to learn that we didn't actually die from being exposed as humans, rather than being perfect, which if we had the goal of being perfect, then we need to hide ourselves from exposure, because that is going to be very clear to everybody very quickly, including ourselves, that we are not perfect. Criticism, generally speaking, isn't fatal. And perhaps there is some value to criticism that we could use in the future if we can mine it for gold and see an experience as having value to us, being a gift. When I was growing up, there were two boys next door to our family. Both of them were sickly. My grandmother said, "They need to play in the dirt." She meant that they needed to facilitate the strengthening of their immune systems through exposure to naturally occurring microorganisms. It made sense. Because they were sickly, they were overprotected. When they went out, they had too much clothing on in the summer and too much clothing on in the winter, and they never really had a chance to have their immune systems develop because of the fears of their parents. And both of these children had been adopted. And so they were overly protected and never really given a chance to develop their own individual strength, muscularly as well as their immune system. It's interesting to me to consider, based upon a pattern that I noticed regarding cesarean sections. There are at least two complications that can arise for children born by cesarean section. First, they don't experience the benefit of a process called full blowout, which occurs with the compression of the skull as the infant moves through the birth canal, and that pressure all of a sudden gets released because the baby has now emerged from their mother, and the bones in the skull and face now expand outward and then settle appropriately aligned next to one another. Children with cesarean sections seem to have a greater likelihood of seizures, maybe due to the misalignments of the bones that never got a chance to be corrected through full blowout. The second complication has been recognized in recent years is that the C-section baby doesn't get exposed to the microorganisms in the mother's birth canal that will help the infant's immune system develop. A C-section baby doesn't have this healthy exposure, and so the immune system never comes into contact with those microorganisms, never develops strength in dealing with them. When you think about it, exposure has a lot of value. How could you learn any subject if you weren't exposed to it and it to you? We were exposed to English, so guess what? We understand English. We weren't exposed to many foreign languages like Manchurian or Mandarin or Russian or Swedish. So we don't understand them. That could mean that exposure is an early and necessary step to our growth, not only physically, as I've already mentioned, but mentally and emotionally. And when we're exposed to so many things, like the beauty of life that you can experience if you go for a walk and notice the trees and the flowers and the birds singing and chipmunks running here and there and rabbits hopping here and there, you go, man, oh man, the design of this world is unbelievably beautiful. And we develop spiritually because we understand this is not man-made. This is divinely made. Here are a few takeaways from this talk. Exposure is an essential process in opening up to life. No exposure means no life. You want more life? You want more health? You want more happiness? You want more success? You want more money? Exposure is the path. You see the road marked exposure and hiding. Go exposure. Now, exposure has to be managed, not avoided. And you can't just run naked through the streets. That's not a good idea. It's not really socially acceptable unless maybe you're in a nudist colony. Planting crops in the middle of winter, not a good idea, because it would expose them to dangerously harsh conditions that, in all likelihood, would kill them. So plants out in the cold in the Midwest winter? Nope, nope. Got to manage them better. Exposure to that, not a good thing. However, in some places in America and elsewhere in the world, if the environment you're in is a life or death dangerous environment, less exposure could be a good idea. Jumping up when somebody is shooting a gun in your area, not a good idea. You're going to want to stay unexposed. You want to be behind something that could stop a bullet. Just because you feel vulnerable due to uncertainty. I don't know what's going to happen. I've never done this before. I don't know who they are. I don't know how this is going to work out. Just because we feel vulnerable, it's not a good idea to hide or run away. Leaning into it and seeing what happens, staying aware and being open to receiving awareness, because we're in a process of discovery when we go into an environment. We should always be open to discovery when we go into an environment, but particularly when we are unfamiliar with it. Part of the problem, of course, is, oh, I'm totally familiar with this, so I'm closed to any new ideas that may arise. I'm closed to any new awareness that I haven't already received. And we close our minds. We become narrow-minded, maybe even cold-hearted, and we miss a great opportunity. But if we take upon ourselves to discover, to see what we're being exposed to, and, frankly, who's being exposed to us. If we're the bearer of light, walking into an environment with an upbeat attitude, with a sense of kindness and generosity to other people, we may be exactly what other people need to be exposed to. I used to say to Marianne before she'd go on a business trip, and she would lament on having to travel and after 9/11 because it became so difficult and tiring. She says, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go on this consulting trip. I'd say, somebody needs your angelhood. Mark my words. Somebody is waiting to see you, to meet you, to have you impact their lives. And today I would say that essentially the same thing, but I would use the word exposure. I would say, Marianne, somebody has to be exposed to you and the way you live and love. So it always happened that I would get a phone call. Sometimes, right after I dropped her off at the airport, before I even got home, she would call me on my phone and say, "You were right. You were right." I was sitting next to somebody and I could see that they were a little bit down, and I started to ask them a couple of questions, and pretty soon they're explaining the problem to me, and they brightened right up because they were exposed to me. They were exposed to caring and kindness. We're the gift. We're the gift. Hiding us, the gift, is not a good thing. Now, we think all the time, oh, they're going to judge me. They're going to judge me. They're going to judge me. But if we consider they need us, they need to be exposed to us, and we look for opportunities to be a light in somebody else's life, we stop being quite so self-conscious. So leaning in when we feel this sense of vulnerability, that's an indication. Lean into it. Don't run from it. And we need to know this too, that the people who judge the harshest are the harshest critics of themselves. Their criticism of us is a futile attempt to make themselves feel better. The trouble for them, though, is that they will reap what they sow. So they may be all staticky and upset and feel terrible about something, the criticism they've experienced, and on, and they think they can control the world by being a harsh critic of somebody else, but it's going to come right back to them. It will multiply. When you really think of how stuff grows, if you were to take, as a farmer, and plant one seed, one pumpkin seed, or one corn seed, you don't grow one pumpkin seed, you don't grow one corn, you grow a lot of stuff. So this multiplying effect is naturally happening because our well-being is being cared for by the divine? I think so. So there's a multiplication effect going on here. You plant seeds and you get way more than the half ounce or 2 ounces or pounds of seeds that you planted. And the same thing is true when we sow seeds of kindness or criticism and condemnation. If we can notice what seeds of love, seeds of respect, seeds of anger and hatred that people are sowing, then we become less self-conscious and we focus on what they're doing, and then we become less afraid of being exposed, because now all of a sudden it's not all about us. In fact, it's all about the process of growing and experiencing and moving energy and learning from what we do, and experiences the consequences of our actions. They're going to, no matter how long it takes, lifetimes perhaps, and the same for us. Exposure can be a really, really good thing. If you want to be famous, what's that mean? Famous equals exposure. You bet it does. Years ago, I read this statement. It said, your income is a direct correlation to your level of communication. If you communicate, you're exposing yourself. If you talk, if you write, if you speak, if you present, if you sell, you're exposing yourself. And the more you do that, the better you get at that, the greater your income. And you go, oh, okay. I'll move more energy. I'll create more value. I'll express it. And ideally, the people who want to hear this or want to grow the same way that I'm talking about or can perceive value in this, those are the people I'm talking to. I'm not talking to people who are filled with hate or of themselves and others. No. And we've got to do this. We have got to find a way to give ourselves to other people. The only way to do that is to expose ourselves. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Listen to the levels of protection that are in here. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.